Greetings, everyone. Good to see you again. Open your Bibles now to Proverbs chapter 3, and be sure to take out your outline so you can follow along and take notes. For those who are visiting, don't be alarmed with all those references at the top of the text. They are all printed out on the inside for you to follow along in chronological order. You'll understand how we're doing our series in Proverbs in a moment. Proverbs chapter 3. Before we get into the message, let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask Him for His help. Father, we come before You this morning thanking You again for Your grace and mercy that we're here. You have blessed us with a good day, good health, that we can be here to sing Your praises, hear Your word, fellowship among the saints. And Lord, if there's anyone here in our midst who do not know You as Lord, may they come to see You in all of Your splendor and glory, and more than anything, that they will see that You are the answer to their sin, to their debt, and their guilt before You. And it is through the shed blood of Jesus Christ on the cross that will reconcile them to the Father. Father, we pray that we, as we partake in the elements and of the hearing of Your word, the means of grace of Your word, that we come to hear what it says. May our heart be worn, drawn, and more than anything, our will submissive to His teaching, to His authority, to His blessedness and usefulness. Father, we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. In my early adult life, I had the distinct privilege of being a bus captain for 7 years in a church. And that's where I visited and invited kids to church on Saturday and picked them up on Sunday. Often I would bring candy with me on Saturday to give to the kids, and the kids no doubt loved it. But once in a while, an adult would come up to me and say that it's wrong to bribe kids into church. And my response was by saying a bribe is usually done to encourage a person to do something wrong. We are encouraging kids to come to church to learn about Jesus Christ in the Bible. This is exactly what God does in giving us His promises, rewards, and motive to pursue a life of holiness and godliness. We are now starting to near the end of our study of this book, Proverbs. And what I plan to do in bringing it to a close is to conclude with some key words that are and phrases that have been sprinkled throughout our study with and all the top. You know, we did the expositional from chapter 1 to 9, chapter 10 to the end of the book to chapter 31. We have collected all of the different topics and try to deal with every verse that dealt with every one of the different topics. One of the things I had come to realize in the process of studying, there were some key words repeated that were motives and reasons and encouragement to go in this direction or to take this course of action. And sometimes we get myth because we're talking about this topic, whether it the right use of the tongue, wrong use of the tongue, anger, finances, God's view and prioritizing your life to seek wisdom above anything and all things. And the list goes on. And I would notice these words constantly, and it really caught my attention. So what I want to do in the next few weeks is to bring some of these words that I have come to see and realize that kind of was on, kind of not in the forefront because we were dealing with the topic, but off of the side. I want to bring them to be front and center. And the idea is I wanted to show you them to show you the collective force that they present, which is like the wave that comes relentlessly on the seashore. We all know that when God speaks, He only needs to say it once. But being human and the fallenness of our mind, we need repetition and to be reminded. But one of the things that would help us to do a better job is if we would learn to listen to God's word like the Thessalonians did. Found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. You want to write that down. These very words. For this reason, we also thank God without ceasing, because here's why he couldn't. Every time Paul went to pray, he would always feel grateful for these brothers and sisters in Thessalonica. And here's why. When you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the words of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. One of the things that we must always do when we hear the exposition and the preaching of His word is we must take it, if it's in line and in tune with God said, we need to have it and receive it with the full force of authority that it is. It is His word, though you're hearing it from me. Whenever I deviate from the text, treat it like a man, dismiss me. But if it's the word of God, heed it and listen to it. But because of the fallenness of our mind, we are prone to remember vain and worldly thoughts and let slip away the good, right, and holy truth from God's word. When our minds are presented with these urgings and calls from God, such as that we had from Proverbs early on in chapter 1, verses 20 through 23, wisdom calls outside. She raises her voice in the open square. She cries in the sheep concourse. At the opening of the gates in the city, she speaks her voice. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? For the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn at my rebuke. Surely I pour out my spirit unto you, and I will make my words known to you. That was wisdom's call to everybody. So one of the things we learned from that is wisdom calls everyone, everywhere, in all places. The question is, are we listening? Are we heeding that call? But due to the fallenness of our mind, we ponder that invitation and see if it's worth it. Our mind will often lean to its own understanding and perceive it. It is not our best interest to pursue this course of direction. That is the only explanation you can come to when you realize that we don't follow wisdom and follow God and God's word with the absolute commitment and persistence and steadfastness as we should, because there are the time where we look at it and say, nah. That has to do with part of our fallenness. Let me warn you with a verse, at least two verses, from Proverbs 14:12 and 16:25. There's the way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is the ways of death. Because of this reality, God often gives the great and precious promises embedded throughout Scripture, and this is especially true in Proverbs. Especially true in Proverbs. In our study, God had been asserting, declaring, and exhorting us to follow Him by taking wisdom's path, but often we miss the motivations and the reasons why. We hear, do it, thus saith the Lord. But often we miss the why, the motivation, and the encouragement, and that's what I want to do, certainly, this morning. And God's love and goodness are seen in giving us the great motivation to embrace the life of wisdom. He gives us good reason to pursue wisdom by showing us the fruit and result and the consequences of following such a path. He does it with words like the word blessed throughout Proverbs, the word happy and rejoicing. These are motives for seeking wisdom. These are words that are to, these words are to persuade us, to move us, to encourage us to take the right path and to stay on it. The word blessed was used 14 times in Proverbs. It means the idea of prosperity, blessing, and respect. Alan Ross, in his commentary on Proverbs, said this, quote, "This blessedness describes the state of being that derives from walking rightly with God and having His seal of approval upon you," end quote. This blessedness is not so much a subjective feeling, but an objective fact that God, by His grace, had blessed and favored us when we take wisdom's path, when we choose the fear of the Lord. John Kitchen said it this way, "There is a healthy self-interest that is evidenced not by a self-focus, but by a fixed attention on wisdom and understanding." In other words, we know, and the things that I'm going to share with you this morning of what it means and what the blessed life looks like, at the great motivation and promises that God gives to us in taking and urging and exhorting us and moving us to take that step and to move in that direction. Let it not be do it. May we not do it for selfish reason, but for the glory of God. We do it because God said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." You don't focus on the attitude; you focus on seeking first Him. Here, don't seek the blessedness; seek the God who blesses, which is a different story. The word "happy" with you 13 times. It means blessed, or to the idea of to advance and to make progress. Too often we look at that word and we don't go exactly into the exact meaning of the, in this case, the Hebrew. We look at a happy, we just think of a jolly, happy person. That's not exactly the idea. The word "rejoice" means to cause or to be glad, merry, and joyful. For example, Proverbs 29, verse 6, "By the transgression, an evil man is snared, but the righteous man sings and rejoices." While the wicked man, the evil man, his path and his way is snared, filled with stumbling blocks, and he's always, "Why did things happen bad to me?" And yet you get the righteous man, the man who showed the fear of the Lord and take the path of wisdom, he is singing along life way. That doesn't mean his life is perfect, but his life is better because he took God's path. He avoided sin and took righteousness. The word "delight" would also use, speak to pleasure, favor, and acceptance. Listen to these verses. Proverbs 11, verse 20. "Those who are of a perverse heart are an abomination to the Lord, but the blameless in their ways are His delight." So we have here a contrast, a extreme contrast. You got one group who had an absolute abomination to God, one of the strongest words that could be used, that opposes. Then you got delight at the opposite. "They delight me. I take pleasure in them," which is one of the highest things that you could say about a person who does that. Proverbs 12, verse 22, "Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who deal truthfully are His delight." Proverbs 15, verse 8, "The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is His delight." All three of them, abomination, delight. One of the other. How did that happen? When wisdom made the call, one showed this path, the other showed this path. That's what happened. And we're looking down life, years, and decision after decision. You're always dripping away when you have no fear of the Lord. Whereas you're regulated and guided by the fear of the Lord, you will go in wisdom's path. In fact, I came to the conclusion when I was reading about this and came to the realization that in all three of those verses where the word delight was used, the word abomination would use the opposite. And I made this observation. One of the scariest things, one of the scariest and most sobering studies one could ever do in the Bible beside the doctrine of hell is to study all the sins that are abomination to God. I got news for you. It will wake up. It is a sobering thought because there are things that we have done in our past before grace or even may do today and we don't realize that it's an abomination to the Lord. So let's move on. Point number one. I had you to look at, open your Bible to Proverbs chapter 3. You can either have it in your Bible or you can look at the birth list on the inside. Proverbs 3:13, listen to these words. Happy is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. Before I go any farther, you're not going to learn anything new today. You already know the truth, but because of the angle I'm hitting it differently, I want to, when I went through all of these verses that had all those words that I was mentioning, blessed, rejoicing, happy, delight, and I brought them together, and what is the common thing? And I picked out three, and there are three things you already know, so I want to turn around through a, rather than touching it on some topic of, you know, giving or speaking or friendship or relationship and all of the various topics we dealt with, I want to urge you, as my title said, live in a blessed life. To live a life that is a blessing and that it comes from God. And we see right from the get-go in point number one, a blessed life consists of a lifelong pursuit of wisdom. Wisdom is, you know, the beginning of wisdom, beginning of knowledge, beginning of understanding is the fear of the Lord, knowledge of the Holy One. Clearly we look at Proverbs chapter 8, verse 32 through 34, it says this, now therefore listen to me. This is wisdom calling out. Listen to me, my children, for blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise, and do not disdain it. Blessed is the man who listened to me, watching daily at my gate, waiting at the post of my doors. In other words, wisdom is crying out everywhere. Are you listening? Are you responding and taking that path? And it promises blessedness. It promises a life of success from a biblical perspective. One of the great joys of the blessings of the Lord is that he had no sorrow with it. No sorrow with it. That doesn't mean we don't have problems. Lord knows we live in a sin-cursed world. We live in a world that's been plagued with sinners. So we're going to have issues and pain and struggles. But we can always take the high ground and take the path that God has called it to. And so what we have here in the verse that I just showed you is we need to seek wisdom and secure it. This is what leads to a blessed life. And I want to urge you, we're not talking about living a good life. We're talking about a blessed life. We're talking a life that's better than simply the old slogan that you see on some of the phones, LG, life is good. No. How are you doing? Blessed. Blessed by him. So it's not just a good one, but a blessed, happy one that rejoices the heart. When you do things God's way, it just blesses you along the way. When you short circuit that, divert from it, take your own path using your own reasoning instead of his path, that's when we fail. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 6 through 8 says this, the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the path of justice and preserves the way of his saints. Here lies the life of a blessed person. People who believe that God is true and that he exists and he is an ever-blessed God. He is the God who blesses those who line up with his purposes and design for their existence. Proverbs 3:18, she had the tree of life, that wisdom. She had the tree of life to those who take hold on her, and happy are all who retain her. It's not enough to possess it or know how to get it when you want it. You need to be ever striving, ever growing, ever deepening your reservoir for and hunger and thirsting for wisdom, understanding, and discernment. The blessed life is built into it a life of, the blessed life is built into the life of wisdom. Each wise and good decision leads to a life of meaning and satisfaction. When you go down, but when you look at, when you're in kind of, even, you know, if you're lost, you can't see it. When you're a Christian and you even have the permanent dwelling ministry of the Holy Spirit, but you still have your fallen mind, you still have struggles, and you might say, well, you know, how can that make me happy? You're either going to take God at His word by faith or you're not. That's the idea. The scripture makes it clear that, and all throughout Proverbs, happy is he who does. Happy is he who makes the Lord his trust. Happy is he who gets wisdom, gains wisdom, retains wisdom. Seek for wisdom. Do you believe that? And I'm not saying theoretically. I'm saying experientially. Proverbs 4, verse 6 through 9 says this, do not forsake her. Again, the context is wisdom, and she will preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. In all you're getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she'll promote you. She'll bring you honor when you embrace her. She will plate on your head an ornament of grace and a crown of glory she will deliver to you. Again, I want to stress to you, don't look for a good life. Seek one blessed by God. Seek one that had God's blessing all over you like Joseph had. Now, we all know the story of Joseph. He didn't have it easy. But one of the things that was a major commentary to him, even in the context of all of his struggles, being sold into slavery, being lied about, put in prison. It said this about him. Genesis 39:3. And his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. That, my friend, is a blessed life. It wasn't blessed just because he became the second man in command in Egypt. It was mightily used of God during a pivotal point in Israel's history. He was blessed of God from beginning to end because he followed God, loved God. God does not bless him when he lived in opposition or a life of abomination towards him. Proverbs 19, verse 8, he who gets wisdom loves his own soul. He who keeps understanding, listen carefully, will find good. Seeking wisdom and understanding, it's good. So in all you're getting, beloved, get wisdom. Go for it. That's where the blessed life lives. Point number two, you'll see in this list, it's those who are blessed, govern their life by the word of God. Proverbs 16, verse 20, he who heeds the word widely will find good. And whoever trusts in the Lord, happy is he. So, I got news for you. Heeding his word and trusting the Lord go hand in hand. You can't trust in the Lord and dismiss his word, and you can't embrace and obey his word and not trust in him. It worked together. And in that verse, it said you will find good and happy will you be. That's what God gives as motivation. If you can't see the rationality of it, if you can't do it based on my authority because the good God told you what's good for you, then here are the motivations. This is the blessed way to go. Proverbs 29:18, there is no revelation to people cast off restraint, but happy is he who keeps the law. How many times have you heard people say, man, you're so surprised because you got to obey all of the command. Thou shalt not. I often say if you just do the do, you don't have time for the don'ts. Okay? Don't worry about the things you can't do if you spend your energy doing what you ought to do. When the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is required to have understanding, then that fear and knowledge of God can only come from a regular intake of His Word. You can skip a lot of things, but you cannot skip this book. You can skip a meal, you cannot get your full 8 hours sleep or however many hours of sleep you need, but you can't skip this book. Because it is necessary for your soul. I found a quote. Don't know where the story came from, but it was insightful. Such faith-filled obedience is guaranteed the blessing of heaven. Now, the reason why I brought that out is because there's several things in there. Number one is the word obedience in light of my point here. Number two have to do with the fact that when you live a life of obedience, you will get heaven's blessing. But the other word that we often miss that plays a major role is faith. Taking God at His word. Faith. More on faith in a moment. We need to heed, keep, and obey the word of the Lord. Proverbs 19, verse 16. He who keeps the commandment keeps his soul, but he who is careless of his ways will die. How about this one? Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandment, for this is man's all. Or the old King James, this is the whole duty of man. Your whole purpose in existence is to fear him and keep his commandments. Jeremiah 7:23, I love this one. But this is what I commanded them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people, and walk in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well with you. That was on the front end of Jeremiah's ministry. Now, you all know Jeremiah's ministry. He was the one that he preached for years, and they didn't respond. They didn't listen to him. In fact, they hated his message. Yet, it was the thus saith the Lord message. They should have been listening to him. And these promises came on the front end. Well, toward the end and in the Lamentation, they went into captivity, and Jeremiah witnessed it with much tears. And he warned them in here, listen to me, obey my voice, and it will be well with you. But if you don't, you will reap what you sow. That's the abomination aspect. That's the aspect of what we learned, that you will get the fruit of your ways. You may even cry out to me, but it'll be too late then. Could you disdain and dismiss and reject it and ignore his calling, his invitation? Another very important truth that we need to remember, not only do we need to obey and govern our lives according to the Word of God, I want to touch again. Key verse that I had here is Proverbs 16, verse 20. I want to talk about the second half of that verse where it said, whoever trusts in the Lord, happy is he. Those who truly trust in the Lord will find him faithful. God is faithful to those who are true to him, who trust in him and lean on him. Psalms 146, 5. Happy is he who had God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. Isaiah 26, verse 3 and 4. You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon you, because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for in Yahweh the Lord is everlasting strength. Y'all remember, not too long ago, Psalms 1, when we did that, athlete about 4 years ago. Blessed is the man who doesn't walk among the ungodly. He delighted in the law of the Lord. Verse 3, and he shall be like a tree planted by the river of the water. Well, Jeremiah has his version of that in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 7 and 8. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the water, which spreads out its roots by the river and will not fear when heat comes. But its leaf will be green and will not be ancient in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. What a blessed promise. Those who trust in the Lord, those who hope in the Lord, not put things in their own hand and do it their way as far as until they exhausted all resources and then decide to trust the Lord. No, that should be the first thing. So, beloved, we must come to experientially know that God does indeed help, and that is where we find our hope in. So, beloved, let us trust the Lord and obey His holy word. Point number 3. Another thing I noticed, no news flash here to you. Life is characterized by holy living. You cannot follow an infinitely holy God and remain in absolute opposition of Him in your lifestyle. You cannot follow wisdom's path, true wisdom, not worldly wisdom, but true wisdom that comes from God, the kind that God gives, that He said in Proverbs 2. You will see that those who take this path and live a life of blessedness also manifest the character of the godly. Proverbs 3:33, the curse of the Lord is on the house of the wicked. Notice the language he uses, the wicked, but he blesses the home of the just. Proverbs 10:6, blessing are on the head of the righteous, but violence covers the mouth of the wicked. When you look at our verse list, those who are blessed and happy people, they are good, holy, and righteous in their character. Words such as just, righteous, upright, mercy, good people, generous, respectful, faithful, and showed compassion permeates the blessed ones. When you look at the word blessed, happy, rejoicing, and delight, you don't find the wicked in that group. These things that when God blesses, or they are a delight to Him, He chooses to bless those who take the challenge to embrace wisdom's call. Such verses as Proverbs 10, verse 6 and 7, blessings are on the head of the righteous, but the violence covers the mouth of the wicked. The memory of the righteous is blessed, but the name of the wicked will rot. And when you're a righteous person living a life in the fear of the Lord and living life with integrity, it's going to roll off into other people's lives that when they're gone, they're going to miss you. That's why it said here, the memory of the righteous who've gone before them is blessed. It's a good name. We're not talking about people who hate our faith and will malign us in any way, shape, or form. Consider the source. But the average everyday person will know when a good person's been among them, or a neighbor, or a friend, or a coworker. Proverbs 22, verse 9, he who had a generous eye will be blessed. You don't find stingy, hoarding people who are covetous and greedy and covetous, and it's all about them and their world and making sure they can pass it on to whoever they want or for political aspirations or whatever, but they aptly use it to be a blessing to others. And I love the eye concept, generous eye. They have an eye and they're looking for people in need. When they find one, they want to be generous with them. Sometimes we have to wait until we get hit by a 2x4 that somebody has a need. That shouldn't be. We are to be looking for the need and ask God if he would have it to fill it. Because we can't fill every need. We're not capable. But we can fill some that he had ordained for us to do. Proverbs 28:14. Happy is the man who is always reverent. In other words, you're not going to find rebellious, contrarian, happy people, by and large. Joyful, have a sense of fulfillment and pleasing and a blessing. No, happy is the man who is always reverent. But he who hardens his heart will fall into calamity. Proverbs 28, verse 20, the faithful man will abound with blessing. There's a good one. Be faithful to the Lord. Be faithful to his principles, his life he had charted for us. And you will abound with blessing. Beloved, every good gift and every perfect gift come down from the Father of lights. You don't get to make things happen for you. You do the right thing and then ask him to bless it. And be content wherever you end up. Remember a while back we did that one, and I was surprised how many people were touched and moved by the challenge on one of the things that characterize a person who pursues wisdom is they are people of joy and peace. They are always happy, but not a Pollyanna, giddy, I'm on Prozac kind of happy, but a happy that comes from things are good with me and my God, and I'm where I should be and ought to be, and by his grace I'll stay there. So in that context, here are two verses that were very prominent in that method. Proverbs 15, verse 13, a merry heart makes a cheerful countenance. People who are happy in the Lord, been blessed by his hand, they are a blessing. Proverbs 17:22, a merry heart does good like a medicine. We're not talking about a fabricated personality. We're not talking about you turn the switch on and off. No, we're talking about people who consistently and genuinely are happy people because they walk with the Lord and they have the joy of the Lord. And we talked a lot not too long ago in our Lord's Supper message about the fruit of the Spirit of joy. And that one of the things that Christ prayed for in his high priestly prayer in John 17, that Father, may they have my joy in them. My joy. Not joy of their own, their joy of their own liking, the joy of their own wanting, or the kind that the world gives, but the kind that I give. Which is real and satisfying, and here's the big one, eternal. It will never stop. So in looking at these three principles, here are two major takeaways that I wanted to take away from our method this morning. Number one, everything we have learned required a wholehearted commitment to this path. When I thought of that, the first thing that came rushing into my mind in the way of an imagery, the people who about ready to get in the water and they don't know what the temperature is. Usually they're more worried about it being freezing cold than hot. What do? They'll tip their toes in. Okay? So I simply made a note. Don't go into it with your toes, but jump all in. Make a full commitment to it. God is not on a probation. He can be trusted. You don't need to. Well, I'm going to give God 6 months. Give him your whole life. He can be trusted. He is faithful. He is good and true to his word. And all you have to do is, like our Lord said, wisdom is justified by the fruit of her children. When you see wisdom fruit, evidence. When you see those who have followed that path and you see the bloodiness in their lives, what a great motivation. You don't need to see it. All you have to do is read it here. It's a wholehearted commitment. 2 Chronicles 16:9. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. Is your heart loyal today? I've urged you and spent all morning challenging and exhorting you and giving you his motivations and reminding you of his reason why you ought to pursue it. Now jump in and be loyal, and he will show himself strong, faithful, good. Point number two at the way of our takeaway. I've touched on it. I'm now bringing it back right here. Point number two simply said that by faith, believe God's word over your human reasoning. God's word is not unreasonable. It just challenges what you want. It challenges you at the motive level. It challenges you at the place where you need to see that the real issue is not what he said, but the implications of what he said. And I thought it was very appropriate if you would have spent time. I don't know if you're one of those bulletin readers before we start our church service, but we had a wonderful passage here in the center panel. It's in Hebrews 4, verse 12 through 13. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and spirit and of joint and the marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and the intent of the heart. The idea of intent is the motive. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. God's word is quick and sharp, powerful, can discern to the heart and soul of who you are. And when God made the command, make the present to you a promise and a motive and a reason, by faith accept it, embrace it. That definition I heard, I got it from Warren Wiersbe probably 30 years ago when I was doing my very first study on Hebrews 11. What is the definition of faith? His definition is taking God at his word in spite of our feeling, circumstances, or consequences as a result of our faith. But too often if I do this, I'm going to have to deal with this. And therefore, rather than living a life of faith and accepting the consequences, you should, because of the consequences, not to live by faith. That is what I believe is the reason why a lot of people don't embrace wisdom, call, and exhortation. James said it this way in James 1, verse 6 through 8. But let him act in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like the wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. One of the great definitions also, or expressions of faith, was found in Romans chapter 4, verse 20 and 21. Where it talked about Abraham when he heard about the promise of his son at his old age. And God said this about him, and he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. Wow! A lot went through that process. First of all, he did not waver, because the waver is a sign of unbelief. He lived and he was strengthening himself by faith. What? Taking God at his word, obeying his word in spite of feeling, consequences, and results. Being fully convinced of what? That God is able. When you have questions, Then just after, God just gave me a great motivation here. Is he able to fulfill that? And when you get the answer yes, which is yay in every case, that should strengthen you. That should encourage you to stay the course, to be fully convinced. We know, and I'm sure you've heard it, people say that faith that they leap in the dark. You're leaving your mind and you're going into la-la land. I got news for you. Faith is not a leap in the dark. Faith is taking God at his word. What did Hebrews 11:1 say? Which has been in a lot of ways the definition of faith. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of the things not seen. Now there's nothing in there that says to leap in the dark. Leap into the unknown. Two very important words that give some stability to it. The word substance and the word evidence. Both of those don't reek with any uncertainty or a leap in the dark. Beloved, our faith has substance and evidence. Doesn't sound like a leap in the dark. Of course not. Our faith is rooted and grounded in the reliability of God's word, which is the substance and the evidence of those who choose to live by faith. That's why you got to know his word. While others want to live by their own instinct and their own wisdom over God's, beloved, we ought not to go down that path. We live by faith, not sight, and not lean to our own understanding, but in all our ways to acknowledge him. So it all comes back to, are we going to take God at his word if we're going to live this life that we all would like to have, blessed? So let's quit saying, I hope I have a good life. We want to say, I want a life that is blessed by God. I want God's blessing all over me, and I need to follow the path that would make that happen in obedience to his word. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your goodness. We already have learned not too long ago that you are the eternally blessed God, that everything about you is one of infinite, eternal bliss, glory, joy, fullness, and satisfaction. And it only makes sense that those who would follow you would be blessed by the ever-blessed God. When we take the path that you have called it to, and in your word directed it to. This morning, Lord, you have given it great motivation. Now may we put aside the fallenness of our mind and quit allowing our human reasoning to take such a higher place that it trumps and undermines the authority and trustworthiness of your own word. Oh, Father, we long to be those that you have touched and have blessed. We thank you for salvation, but Lord, we know we have been called to live a life that pleases you, and that shows all those around us the reality of the life of those who embrace the gospel of Jesus Christ. Father, it's not about good people, it's about new people, people with new hearts, new creatures in Christ who had been transformed because of the grace of God. And Lord, help us to see that when we take that path, what comes with it is blessedness. Oh, Father, we ask that you bless the preaching of your word in Jesus' name. Amen.